We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed. Hallelujah. Can you welcome someone to church? Amen. How was our day? Hope we had a great day. Yeah, I had a great day as well. And I know God has a special word for us today, and I like the way Pure Streams led us in worship. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll continue a conversation. Can you hear me very well?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I feel like it's not loud, but if you can hear me, it's okay. Hebrews chapter 13. We started a conversation on Sunday, the first service, where we were looking at established by grace. And I still feel the Lord will want us to stay there and learn from the scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of us still remember we talked about established by grace, and we looked at, start from verse 5, please. You know, like we said, Hebrews 13 has different, my wife said it was because they were ending a chapter, so, which I believe is true. There were so many things they were trying to put together. It had a lot of different themes, different conversations. Like, you can read three verses. After three verses, they move to another thought. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I learned something today about the book of Romans. Just something simple about how some patriarchs got saved by the book of Romans. And I found it very interesting. I think John Wesley got saved after he read Romans. It was Romans he read. I think there's John Wesley, St. Augustine, and I think one person. Which for me, I always respect the book of Romans because I feel like it's very loaded. Particularly to help every one of us understand what we have in the new birth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that was quite interesting for me to know that. Some people just read that and... or whether I was preached to them or they read it, but that was the book that got them saved. Let's start from verse 5. So like I said, we're looking at established by grace, and we are basically seeing this chapter to help us deduce why God will want us to be established. So it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. No, start from 7. Thank you. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word. So let's quickly remove three things from here. So they say, bring out a set of people, and they've done three things for us. They've spoken the word to us. We can follow their faith. So when he says we can follow their faith, he's just saying you can follow their way of life. Amen.
Amen.
So he's not saying you can follow their gift of faith. Yeah. We may be operating that at different levels. But it says, whose faith we follow. So that's the second thing we can. Then also, considering the outcome of their conduct, also their conduct. So meaning, no, please, let's just remove three things from here. So this particular people, they don't just take the rule over. They have a testimony. That's why they are worthy of double honor. Hallelujah. So if, you know, like Papi mentioned recently, the people that don't want to submit like authority. Now, some people might like this rule, and they don't want to labor over the people in the place of the word. Like Timothy was told, be an example. You know, that thing is an assignment. You know, it's very easy to just say what you are saying. Yeah, but when they tell you, be an example, that's where the work is. So these ones, they've spoken the word, meaning they've labored to find out what the counsel of God is over a people. And then they've lived their life to be so plain that people can follow. People can follow. You can literally look at them and say that, as regards this, this is how this person would, this is the manner of life for this person. As regards X, Y, Z, you know, this, they are not hidden. Do you get? It's not only two people that know them. Do you get? It's not only two people that know when they enter the powerhouse. No. It says we can follow their faith. It means their life is so simple and plain. Plain and simple. It's not complex. Then also, we have their conduct for consideration. Now, this also talks more about the fruit. It says the outcome of their conduct. That's the fruit of their life. We can see it. We can see it. So they've labored in the place of preaching the word, then also living their lives as the word, because the faith there is that you are now living your life by the word. So they've also labored to ensure that whatsoever they preach, they are not found wanting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the third one is God has helped them that they are fruit. They have fruit. So it says, remember these people. So if I want to do this remembrance, I will skip rule over. Because the reason why God has given them the grace to be in charge is God that will judge all of that. But the reason we are able to follow these particular people is because of what they are doing. You will look at it, it says if any man will become a bishop, they will say he will be able to do this, 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 this. It's not just so that he can have rule over the people of God and he stops there. They even say if he cannot rule over his house, he should not be given the office of a bishop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't forget these three things, right? So let's move on. Verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So he now says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. And we said something that doctrines have what? The ability to carry. It has the ability to carry. Paul would tell Timothy, in the book of Ephesians, it will use the phrase, every wind of doctrine. It means it has, there was a wind that blew yesterday. Did it blow in Lagos?
Yes.
Ah. This one was shaking the foundation of the hotel. And we just got back from church. I was so happy. Then I ate the rain with amala. I don't know how that English. It was amala sky. So I didn't care of the rain. I didn't care. My rain was in front of me. So it was a good evening. It was when I got back home. I saw rain has entered my office in Lagos. Because they didn't close. I didn't close the window. And I don't think the folks at home knew that they should close it. Because the wind has in it the ability to carry anything in its way. That's what the wind is. So it says various. It says don't be carried about. Don't be carried about. Because that's various and strange doctrines can carry you. There's no doctrine that you have with you, whether good or bad, that wouldn't lead you. It will lead your life in the direction of that doctrine. You can literally say that you will become the doctrine you are sitting with. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. So this is where we brought out our topic. It says, can we all say it together? For it is good that the heart be established by grace. Yeah, it is good. It is a good thing. When your heart is established or when your heart is settled, you are in a good place. Now, it's not everybody that is in a place where their heart is settled. Because it could be that the solution they are looking for to a particular problem hasn't come. And so they are still under that pressure to be going here and there. Their heart is not settled. Their heart has not come to the conclusion that they've gotten to the place of rest. Maybe one of these days we'll look at one of my favorite topics in Hebrews is laboring to enter into his rest. The first time I had the opportunity to preach that message was in school. And I don't even think I've had more than two opportunities to preach that same message. But a lot of people, a lot of God's children are not in this good place where they are settled, they are sorted. You know, can you ask a child of God and they say, are you looking for anything? And the person says, I'm fine. Like, there's nothing I'm looking for. I've found it all. Yeah, it's rare. This is rare. If they take our census, it's rare. Because you remember when, for Jesus to tell them that the Son of Man does not have anywhere to, they were looking for something. And you know the day some of them left was the day he thought about, you will eat my body, you will drink. That was the day some people left. They said, ah, this is not what we were looking for. Then Peter now said, where will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. There's no place where we don't have any. We are trying to conclude. So he says, it is good. It is good. You know, when your heart is not troubled, you know, at times you are just, as you are driving down, and you are hearing one resounding amen in one location, and you are driving down, you're like, ah, hope it's not there meant to be. This one, that this is my problem. Hope is not, or you see a flyer, you know. You see a flyer and then you're like, ah, child not jinx Bible study like this and go for this this special program. He says it is good. So when your heart is not settled, there's a problem. But the problem is not so much about the problem you are trying to solve. It's that you are in a place where everything that God wants for you can be taken away from you. It's like that person is in a place where he's a prey. So he's trying to solve a problem. You know when an animal is trying to find food, but he also knows that somewhere is in the territory of another higher animal. So he's not settled, as he's looking for is food. His mind is looking like this. You know how many of you have watched that antelope that was drinking water? And the crocodile was just in that water waiting for when it will lose guard. Now, that antelope's heart is not settled. Because you didn't serve him water inside a cup, then put it on the table. Then he now fold leg. No. His heart is not settled. He knows a lion can even come. As much as a crocodile can come from the water. So some believers are like that. So that your heart is not settled is not so much about the solution you want to solve. It's actually you are in danger zone. It's like you've exposed yourself. You are a prey. So that's why I say it is good. Those of us that our heart is settled, we are in a good place. He didn't say those of us that all our problems are finished. He says our heart is settled. We are in a good place. You know when they tell you that you are good already. You know when they use those phrases, you are good. Yes, that's the way I'm describing. Like, we are sorted. Isha begins, so I'm okay, Isha. Okay, I'm okay. You know, T.Y.'s music video, there are people that will not feature there. You would think they were the one that wrote the song. Like, Wale. Maybe they will make him just pass. Music video. T.Y., please just be spotting the people that will not be in this video. They have plans. I'm okay. It is. Amen. So if our hearts are not settled, there is a major problem. And we'll look at the major reason why a heart can be settled and a heart might not be settled. He says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. See, anything you see, whenever you sit down to say that I want to learn anything, particularly when it has to do with something that can change the manner of your life, be sure to test it first. Now, what does it mean to test it? The easiest way is look for its fruits. That's the easiest way. It's not saying, God, is this evil or good? No, that's not how to test first. we test or we prove by fruit. See, that one, no matter the level of your spirituality, even if you don't have discerning of spirit, with that one, you are okay. Somebody is just saying, follow me. You just say, where's the fruit? You remember that's the basis of the remembrance. It says, those who we've seen the outcome of their conduct. We've considered the outcome of their conduct. We've seen them. We know we can see their fruit. For example, if somebody says, I can raise you to be a giant, we'll say, how many giants have you raised? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So anything you sit with, don't let it work in you first to really know what it's made of. You know, don't sit down and say, let me go through this thing for 40 days. Let me see what comes out of it. No. No. Particularly something that has been structured to change the way of life of the people. For example, you can just say that, oh, I want to try maybe one strange thing you just see on the internet. Now, the people selling it are telling you that this thing is making people live better. They are telling you that this thing, it will change the way you do stuff. They are telling you that it has the capacity to change a man. Now, before you go, say that, let me try. You know, many of us, when we are frustrated with something, and we hear, maybe you just watch 1-2 minute ad on YouTube, and they are advertising something, you immediately have the complex that this thing will solve. Let me just try it. No, don't just try. Particularly when it has the ability, they've said that it changes the lives of people. Because you might try it and you might not recover. Because what you've simply done is you really want to use your own life as a sample. Do you understand? That's how you approach doctrine. You don't go through doctrine first to see what it will make of you. You may not be the same. Most likely, you won't be the same. So when a man is approaching anything that has the capacity to change you, see, for example, if somebody says, come to this church, your life will change. Don't come first. Open your life. Just come and look at which lives have changed here. Hey, Joe, for me, 5 people that they came to this place and their lives have changed. Yeah, that's how you prove. Because you might be there 5 years. If you didn't judge it by the fruit, we are now going to be trying to use your life to see whether it will work or not. So it says, not with food which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And we said on Sunday that they immediately told us that you can't be established by anything that is not working. So he says some people, they've settled with this thing and it has not profited them yet. Now, whether it is food, I wouldn't take this as food literally. I would take this as something that can nourish you, change your person and all that, internally and externally. But it says the people that have seated with this food, they've been eating for 15 years. Imagine someone says that I've been following Papi for this year, and the life is, it's always a concern when a man finds himself in a place where he is eating, but there has not been any profit out of that eating. Let's read verse 10. Okay, no, I don't want us to read verse 10. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we used about 20 or 15 minutes there about to read Hebrews. And I said that the real focus here, which you will see how the writer of this epistle was trying to help us draw comparison between why the heart is established and parameters to look at, or parameters to look at to define what can make a heart established or not. Now, he says, if you obviously go for various and strange doctrines, it won't be established. It will be carried away. Amen.
Amen.
So, the easiest way to reproduce, you know, anything is, particularly when we say we want to produce people that are Jesus-like, people that are Christ-like, people that are, they are Christians. The easiest way to do it is to establish them or teach them the doctrines of Christ. Now, if I get you born again and I tell you that you will be like Christ, like you just gave your life to Christ, and I tell you that you will be like the way they describe the church in Antioch, and I didn't tell you emphatically that you need another process to teach you a new way of life. If I just gave you, I just led you to Christ and I left you, I've not put you on a path to be Christ-like. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would have put you in believers class. That is me planning that you'll be Christ-like. If I didn't quickly find a way to connect or call the people in believers class that there's a new convert, your path to arriving at Jesus-like or Christ-like or being a Christian, because that was where the word Christian came from, Christ-like. Because in that place, you are told to sit down and you are now taught the ways of Christ. Now, the ways of Christ are the doctrines of Christ. Now, a doctrine is a set of belief that when put together, we can live by it. It forms a way of life. Because that's where we are going into. We are going into how God can establish our heart by grace, but by the doctrine. Because as a child of God, if you are not given to sound doctrine, you wouldn't be established by grace. Now, you would be a believer. Now, what do I mean by being a believer? You would understand and know that there's sovereignty in God. That's who a believer is. A believer is someone that knows that there is God. Have you ever heard the conductor say, "Olonwa"? Yeah, he's a believer. Most people that have not given their life to Christ don't necessarily not believe that there's a supreme being. Even Elon Musk believes that there's something that is making all this thing happen. But he's not Christ-like. You know, some of us were happy that he didn't say that God does not exist. No. So a lot of, and those are the people that went so deep into finding what is really behind this thing. You didn't do research. How many research have you done? This one, they went from the cosmos, they went behind the cosmos, then they now said there's really nothing like Big Bang Theory, something made it happen before, blah, 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 blah. He's a believer. He believes that there's a supreme being behind all these things. It's not better than the downfall driver that says Olonwa. It too, he didn't do this, but they've chopped his eyes. Yeah. So he knows that Olon doing law. The bad no means Olon man. So there's a believing realm for everybody. Some people, there are people that would tell you that, you know, there was a time they told us that there's a very interesting atheist. Some of you might even know him. He was the owner of Taisholari School. I mean, that's what's the name of the school again? Mayflower. And I mean, he's a naturalist. I think they say in his home everything is like wood. Like there's nothing Western. He's a naturalist, and I think they also said he's an atheist. But I don't know how true the story was, that he was coming down from the stairs and he wanted to fall down, and he said what all of us always say.
Jesus.
Jesus. When an atheist gets to the end of himself, he will say something. He will say something. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I said that the easiest way to produce Christ in us is when we are taken through the doctrines of Christ. You will see that at a point the Pharisees questioned the way Jesus was teaching the people, because the Bible says that he was teaching them his doctrines. Let's quickly look at some of those scriptures. Let's just go to Matthew 22, 23. Matthew 22, 23. It says, the same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, 24. No, let's leave it. I don't want to read anything that will take me off track. Let's look at Luke 4, 32. I just want to read just one verse in each of these, because this is not my main. It says, and they were astonished at his teaching. Now, this teaching is his doctrine. If you put this, if you switch it to KJV. Jumoke, are you here? Let's switch this to KJV. It says, they were astonished at his doctrine. So he was teaching them how to live. So that's what doctrine was in this rendition. He was teaching them how to live. He says, you eat my body. My body, you eat my, you drink my blood. You know, no man can. You know, he will say a lot of things. And then the goal is so that people can change the way they were living before. And then find another path to live. And actually, many of his conversation is that he will say, me, I have life. He will say, I am the way. I am the truth and life. He would always teach them that he has an alternative route, which was the main route. But he would only teach them in doctrine. He would teach them how to live. That's how he would teach in parables. It's so that at the end of the day, you can deduce how to live. You know, remember when they asked him, who is my neighbor? He just gave them an illustration of the Samaritan man that was attacked on his way to Jericho. Then he now says, deduce who is the neighbor. So that is doctrine. So the way for us to produce Christ in ourselves is when we are given wholly to what? To doctrines, particularly the doctrines of Christ. Now, if I told you that just reading your Bible and praying every day will get you being Christ-like, I'll be deceiving you. Because your Bible in itself, it was given for doctrine. So that you can have doctrine. When they come to you and they say, how are you living this your life? It must be the summation of the doctrines you are living by. Now, the problem with when you see a so-called child of God and you can't say this person is born again is because the person is not living the doctrines in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the easiest way to produce Christians, If we don't, we won't have the same testimony that they had in Antioch. You see, they just looked at their way of life and they took knowledge that these ones have been with Christ. It just meant that when they saw them, they were living like Christ. And the only thing that can make that possible is that Christ had taught how they should live, which is his doctrine. And doctrine is not just preaching. It's you being able to chart a course for people. When people say, how can we get to the Father? You say, this is how you can get to the Father. Yeah. That's a doctrine. Yeah. Like, that's a way. When they take that way and they live by it, he's saying that they will get to the Father. So it's not good preaching. It's not sermonizing. No, it's just teaching people how to live. Because any child of God that is not given to doctrine can't be a Christian. Mm-hmm. You can't be a Christian. Because the reason why you are a Christian is because of how you are living. So if you are not given to sound doctrine, we don't know what you are living by. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And like I said, it is very easy to just be a mere believer. You can just believe because you are powerless. Yeah. You can just believe that. I mean, you can just believe in something higher than you. But as a child of God, we are meant to give ourselves to sound doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just follow me tonight. We won't rush. Because today I want us to, maybe before we end this established by grace, we would have looked at about 8 unpopular disciples. I mean unpopular. They're not your fav, Abi. Ah, it's fave. Ah. That's why I'm Daniel. As if I shot favorite. Moa shot to see fav. He's well. You didn't want me to confess. You didn't confess my this thing in the secret. Okay. We are one big family. We are one big family. I won't go there again. So we'll look at about 8 unpopular disciples that were given wholly to sound doctrine. And we would see how Christ was produced in them. We would also look at about 4 to 5 disciples still that were carried away by various and strange doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But let's just go through some of these notes I have here. You know, another thing I wrote here is seducing spirits are in charge of strange doctrines. See, anytime you are playing around something that is strange, meaning it's not from God, is always being powered by seducing spirit. Now, in your head, you would have thought seducing spirit is... Why did you laugh like that? It's seducing. No. What seducing spirit sells is deception. It's deception. That's what's on the market. Now, what they give to you is the token of deception. But the goal, the aim is that you should be deceived. That's the aim. So when you see strange doctrines or false doctrines being pushed, what is riding or driving its energy is a spirit, and is a seductive spirit. And the aim of the seductive spirit is to deceive. Actually, to deceive many. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Please follow me tonight. And let's follow the Holy Spirit. Because when I say it's deceptive, is that one, there's something in your hand that they need to take. That is okay. Now, I'm preaching to God's children. If you haven't given your life to Christ, you will start at giving your life to Christ and you will join us on this road. Because all of us are on this road of that it is good that our heart be established by grace. And so what the aim of you holding or playing or living by a false doctrine or a strange doctrine is so that you can drop what you have. Drop what you have. Or mix what you have with that strange doctrine. Because the people that will be deceived, they will be the ones that will say, this thing that is out there is better than what I have. or that would say that this thing that is out there, when mixed with what I already have, it will give a better output. That is deception. Deception is to take what is good from you or to corrupt what is good. So you will still have a sense of that that thing that is good is still with you, but you have added something to it. Hallelujah. Or you have dropped what is good completely to pick this new idea. So you can see that when a man is toying with false doctrine or strange doctrine, he will lose everything. I mean, he will lose everything that God has given to him. Or he will corrupt everything that God has given to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why we say that the aim is for to deceive many. You know, there's a scripture that is drawing me in Revelation, but I'm not going there. Because that also talked about how the spirit of Jezebel was able to deceive the kings of the earth. But don't go there. I didn't even study it, so don't carry us. When the Bible says the acts of the apostles, meaning what the apostles did. Now, one of the things that characterized the acts of the apostles is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let's go there. Why did you go to Colossians first? Can we read this together? Amen.
Amen.
What happened in the days of the first church happened because there was an apostle doctrine or apostles' doctrine that they were fellowshipping with. And all the things that happened, even the expansion of the church, particularly when persecution came, and then Barnabas was able to go somewhere, Philip went somewhere, all those things that was happening that we now write, or we read, sorry, as the Acts of the Apostles, was possible because these people were gathered around the apostles' doctrines. See, we said a while back, when you want to produce anything after, for example, to reproduce a powerful church, is the doctrine of the powerful church that will be transported. If you just say that, go and be powerful as we are powerful, there's nothing like that. The people that were scattered, they had fellowshipped in Jerusalem with the apostles' doctrine. So when they were scattered, it was easy to live like the others in Jerusalem. It was very easy. It wasn't difficult. When persecution scattered them to even Antioch, it was easy. So the doctrines were pivotal to the acts of the apostles. So if we also say that we want to rot the acts of the church in Ojodu, we must be given wholly to doctrine. Else, when we get out there, you won't know how we do what we do. Because doctrine is that we, you know, it's just like culture. It's the way of life. That's the way they help us define it, Abi. Now, if we say you are really part of us, is that you are given to the doctrines of the house. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it will be around various things. For example, when you, we know that when you see what you should not see in the dream, is our doctrine that you won't go and carry pamphlet to be defining lizard, cockroach. Yeah. You are a stranger. We know it's a doctrine that we don't abuse men of God. Yes, yes. So if we see you on Facebook, we'll just do as if we don't know you. We'll just do as if we don't know you. Because actually, you are not part of us. Because the doctrine is not the doctrine that puts us together. You've not been steadfast with it. So it's not a way of life for you. So the doctrines were pivotal to the acts that were happening in this book. The different miracles that were happening. The way they were living their life. The way the Spirit of the Holy Spirit was manifest in their midst was powered by what they were gathered onto. So if we also, we are steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and what in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, we would also have the acts of the church in Ojoju. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So because those acts were possible because they were fellowshipping around doctrine. Now, if we all say down with doctrine, we will not achieve anything meaningful with God as a people. Yeah, God might be blessing us. We might be giving testimony, but we will not be able to do anything substantial in the kingdom of God. That God will say that it was this household that I used to perpetuate this will of God on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's start. You know, I said we'll look at about... Because the reason is we think that the way to change... Let me tell you something. The shortest cut to change a man's life is to teach him your doctrine. See, when somebody tells you that, I want to help you, and the person doesn't tell you how he is living, you won't achieve his success. The person can help you. So when we say that, if you come, your life will change. What we are simply saying, when you come, we will give you something you will stay with. After a while, your life will change. For example, maybe you, before you joined the church, you didn't have sense. I mean, like, sense. You didn't have basic sense. In that doctrine, there is how to live as a Christian normally. So you have that. So you won't have to be closing your eyes to be walking on the road. Because you've, in the doctrine, you've been able to deduce how to live normally. Where you are not floating. You're not waiting for a drum set and keyboard to kick in before you can hear the voice of God. So that's the way we can reproduce Christ-like folks. Jesus-like folks. So let's look at Gaius first. Gaius is our first guy. You know, one of the interesting things about Gaius is Gaius was not just a John boy. He was also Paul's guy. Now, when you are a guy of two serious apostles, you get something or you catch something. It's either of the two. Let's start from the favorite one we all know, 3 John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as the soul prospereth. NKJV, please. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Now, that truth that is in you, John is now saying that when I look at you, you now live a life that I can call true. You're not living a lie. He says even people have testified of it. He says just as you walk in the truth. Now, this is not declaring I walk by truth. This is not this that he has a set of values, spiritual values that he's living by that John called truth. Now, the brethren testify that the truth is in him. And that he walks in the truth. That means his way of life, when we take that way of life, is the truth. Because this is also how Paul was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Because I've been able to digest the ways of Christ. And I'm walking in truth. So I can say, walk, follow me as I follow Christ. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. It's okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 29. Hallelujah. That hallelujah has gone down. It's still coming up.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Acts chapter 19, verse 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. Now, whether this was before the testimony of John or not, that's not really our concern, is that two people can testify. So he was actually Paul's companion here. Okay, let's read on. Let's just read all the scriptures so that. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 23. I'm just spotlighting on the man, what? Gaius. You know, this is someone me I want to be like. That brethren can say that the truth is in what? Is in me. And my apostles do, we say, I am walking in the truth. That he's always happy when he hears that what? I'm walking in the truth. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church greets you. Now, this one has the ability to host the whole church. Hallelujah. So, before it was Paul's, they were traveling together. After a while, he started hosting Paul. Then he also was the one hosting the whole church. He says, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus. Now, the reason you've not known Gaius before is you always skip greetings. You're looking for confession. We are looking for confession. That's why you've not seen Gaius before. You've not seen this place before. Amen.
Amen.
Or have you heard of Quartus? See, there are many unpopular people that if God gives us their story, they are worthy examples. Now, where I'm going to is that these guys, they didn't have the revelation of Paul. Some of them didn't have the opportunity, the 12 disciples had. Now, some of them were also part of the 70. Some of them. But a lot of these unpopular guys, they didn't have the one-on-one. The best they had was how a Paul or a John was able to turn the teachings of Jesus into a way of life for them to live. And they became worthy examples. That's the reason why we're looking at all of them. And we will see a very interesting guy, Onesimus, that a thief, can go through the doctrines of Christ. And he will be a resource to God, to man, and to everyone that God sent him to. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that doctrines is what really gets you to be Christ-like. Because if you're coming to church every day and we don't tell you this, you will not end like the way Jesus wants you to end. Now, you may be like what we will want you to be like. Maybe a dancer. Or maybe a singer. But what God has in his heart, you wouldn't have become it. We would have deprived you of your heavenly purpose. I think let's read one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter, chapter 1 verse 14. So Gaius is a fantastic guy that Paul could consider him a companion. See, when an apostle says, follow me, let's go and do the work of ministry together. It's because you have something. See, that's one thing me I even knew about. People that God sent. They don't like taking people that don't have a sense of descending. That's one. Like, it's stress. When we see Jericho, you say, ah, they will cut off our neck. When you see the mountain before Zerubbabel, you say, ah, this is Mountain Everest. Yeah, you will be the pain in their neck. So, anyone that God sends, they don't like going out with the one that does not understand the ascending. They will leave you at home. Be watching on YouTube. Yeah. So, if you are here, maybe they had almost told you to join the trip. They don't remember. Ele understand the calling. Agbadolo mama, Jenny, we need the revival. Yeah, I've seen it before. You know, we'll go for outreach. You're eating Agbado. The people you are meant to be saving. You're saying, Eloni Ube. How much do you Ube? Yeah, you don't understand the call that sent them there. You are pricing Ube. On revival ground. You can see that you're a casualty. Not a wounded soldier, a casualty. Yeah. That's why I conduct myself to every degree of staying in the line of that call. I'm like, this person was sent there for some, even if I don't have all the details. And they said, follow me. If I, for one reason, am not in line, I know I'm a jeopardy. I know I'm in trouble. So for Paul to find, imagine when they said, I have now separated you and Barnabas. And Paul starts crying. Because he knows Barnabas. Hey, we will start looking for him when the service has started. He will say he's in Itri. He's coming. Yeah. If they call both of us and they say they are saying, that's what I'll be. Do you know the assignment? I wouldn't even think you understand the assignment. Because we are, imagine two soldiers, they say, we are deploying you. Then they said, this one is still in recruit class. He does not know how to use the gun. Then they now handed him to Navy SEAL. You can know that that's the one that will kill everybody. He will give out their position. So they were also worthy servants. They didn't need to see Jesus on the way to Damascus. They didn't need to have eaten with Jesus. They only just took. You know, at times you might be saying, let me just see what Papi has seen too. Let me see the problem you have is that you are not taking the doctrine he's giving you. That is like they've taken the whole experience and put it in words that can be communicable and that is livable. Now, the same that appeared as giving the words for the way of life. So it will produce the same results. That's why they told us, see, blessed are you, for you didn't see. You didn't see Jesus, but if you can follow this doctrine, you would turn out to be a fine disciple. Yeah. It would be as though you were there. Yes, sir. Everywhere you went, you would think you were following him, you were going with him. When they carried his cross, you carried with him. Paul was writing here, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Now, I didn't read all the scripture in any sequence. Whether this happened before all of them, whether this happened at a later time. Now, we can teach to say maybe this happened before a lot of things because of maybe the idea of baptism. But that's not even the cocoa. Is that this man was a worthy companion of Paul. And this man was a worthy son. He says, I am always glad when I hear that my children walk in the truth. Can you say Gaius?
Gaius.
Yeah. I like the guy. We don't have a lot of documents about him, but the testimony he has tells me that this man didn't just follow for gain. Yeah. He didn't follow Paul to those, you know, someone would say, Papi, we're traveling. You are just thinking, travel. I'm traveling. No. Or the access you have. Oh, I have access. Do you know how many men of God I have access to? You know, like the one they said, you know, do you know I can call this man? I have his number. That's being stupid. Yeah. Because the access, and that's why any one of us that God has granted access is with responsibility. Because at times it will give you privileges. Oh, this is how this person stays in faith. You just pick that and find a way to walk how you two can stay in faith to get results. You can see how a lot of us we miss, particularly when we have access. We don't understand the call of the person we have access to. We just like, this person, is a darling, is it this? No. These guys turned out to be worthy companions. He said, he baptized him. In Acts, he said he was his fellow traveling companion, meaning anywhere Paul was going. When they say, please, who are the Navy SEALs of Paul? They will pick him. They will pick this one. They will pick that one. They say, let's go to this place. Let's go and scatter it. Now, what was happening in that Acts? They were literally, that was where they stoned Paul. They probably died. I think it was that place. Because you find one strange man. No, not here. Acts 19. Okay, you're not following me very well. Follow me. Acts 19. 29. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Can we look at 30, verse 30? And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia were his friends sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for our assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. But don't worry, don't let us bother. Now, this guy they showed here is one of the bad guys. Alexander, we'll see him. Let's run. Now, I will quickly we won't study this, but I will just mention two other people that they have like a whole lot to study about them. Titus, Timothy. Now, Timothy is like, he has a special place. But I don't think it's just that he has a special place. They just want us to see a pattern. I feel they could have written, you know, as interesting things about these other guys too. But don't worry. So Timothy was also a person like that that followed the doctrines. Another guy is Philemon. So let's look at Onesimus. Let's look at Philemon chapter verse 8. Sorry, it only has one book. Verse 8. Philemon 8. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech you, being such and one. Why are you in KJV now? Demoke is not following me. And I don't know why. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten. Now, when someone says, I have begotten him, it means I've been able to give birth to him. That's what begotten means. Now, it means I've produced him after my kind. Now, that's the way God sees production or reproduction. You know, when man fell, he said Adam produced after his kind. He It says, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Who once was unprofitable to you. So he was unprofitable at a time. He says, but now he is profitable to you and to me. So you can see that anyone that is currently unprofitable, maybe to anyone, based on what you know about them, and the person is joined to the place where the doctrines of Christ, we are gathering unto it, and the person is eating from that gathering, right? The person will not just become profitable to us. The person will now become profitable to you. For example, it may not be the person that will teach your son in believers class. Because after a while, the person was now begotten. It was now begotten. God has now remodeled the person. The way the person was living before was not the way the person turned out. The person has now turned out to be a new person. And so the person is now profitable to us. Because it's us that weakly see it. Because you might still be battling with, I know this guy. I know this guy. I know this guy. Then we will now tell you that he is now profitable to you. Verse 12. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. Now this like, if you guys messes up after this time, it's Paul's reputation that he is staining. Because Paul says, I have begotten him. No, go to 14. No. Where talked about heart? Is it 12? 12, thank you. It says, receive him. That is my own heart. So don't look for me. Onesimus is Paul. Paul is Onesimus. Verse 13. Whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Verse 14. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Verse 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Now let's look at another person. Let's look at Epaphras. I already told you they are not popular people. Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at Colossians 1:7. See, we're looking at disciples that what made them a disciple was that they followed the apostles' doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Because disciple was never a vocation. Because we also see the men that followed these people, but because they were not given wholly to doctrine, they fell by the wayside. Also, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease. Now go back to, can you put 7 and 8 together? So he called Epaphras a dear what? Fellow servant. And he also called him a what? A faithful minister of Christ. Now don't forget, why we are looking at these guys is, what's giving them all this good report is because they stayed steadfast with the apostles' doctrine. He says, and he declared his love, the love of the people to Paul. Let's go to Colossians 4, verse 12. So here he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a born servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So another guy I want us to look at is Epaphroditus. Some of you are Gila and Fia and Wokini Ishe. Yeah. That's how your own name too is not sweet. If they put Olumide Laikon, if they put it there, that's how it's not sweet. It's not popular. But when you hear Paul, when you hear Peter, you won't even name your son Epaphroditus. Yeah, and if I'm already giving some people inspiration on new names, yeah, these ones are not saturated. Balade is looking at me. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Epaphroditus. It says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you. You know, like we said, see, if you are sent by someone who is sent, they've considered that you have embodied what they carry. Don't joke with when maybe someone God has given an assignment and then tells you, do this for me, as though I'm doing it. The way the person is seeing you is, you know, there was a day Papi wrote something on his status and he said, his labor over me was not in waste. I think that day I was preaching in Teens Church. He said, the labor of 10 years is not a waste. So go and do. Every time every time we were doing that work, we would always say, he would even threaten, he would say, if I have the opportunity to leave this one, I'll come and do things. So what is that telling you? He said, do it as if I'm the one doing it. He says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, one, my fellow worker and fellow soldier. You're the one thinking Paul was fighting alone. He has a brother called Epaphroditus. Fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you have heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me. So you can see that Paul would see his loss as his loss. Yeah. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. I love this. Yeah, when they hear Paul, they tremble. But they don't know about all these guys. It's the people that they are working with that know them. And these guys they were not planning to go to those churches themselves and go and shine. Yeah. They were with the person God called. Yeah. It was until Paul felt necessary and said, Epaphroditus, go. Go to them in Philippi. They will enjoy you. See, this church, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you want to be here. Kosimbi Okowa. These are men. He says, old such men in esteem. They didn't say, be careful around him. He can color be your rich guys. Hear him, but don't hear him. No. He says, hold him in esteem. So the same honor you will give me, give him. Because he is a fellow worker. He's my brother. He's a fellow worker. He's also a fellow soldier. Like these are the guys. See, when they call someone a fellow, he's fellow. It's like you say, Paul, have you seen this revelation of Christ? Say, oh, I've not seen it, my brother. Please show me. Yeah. I'm not saying son. He's fellow. Ah. I love these people. The last one, Demetrius. Let's go to 3 John. There were two guys that John highlighted in the book of John. Gaius and this other guy. 3 John, verse 12. He says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness. See, if you want to live a life that does not have a good report, you are kidding. This Christianity that you want to do, that you want to do it without good report, that nobody will be able to testify of your life. It's only me and God. Only me and God. You are joking. Even the people that called us Christian, they saw it. It's not the people that said, what's our name? What's our name? What new name are we going to give ourselves? No, it was people that saw them and took knowledge and said, these ones are Christians because they've been with Jesus. They've been with Christ. So this life that we want to live without good report, it won't get us anywhere. You are waiting for judgment day so that God will judge. He will tell you who you are. No. You will find that they will read the same testimony. It says, we also bear witness. And you know that our testimony is true. Verse 13. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Amen.
Amen.
Are you enjoying this?
Yes,
now, let's look at people who rejected or didn't practice sound doctrine. Now, there are probably about 28 scriptures that we can read on doctrine. But I don't want to belabor us with where the Bible is talking about doctrine, 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 doctrine. My emphasis tonight is to show you men that practiced doctrine and turned out excellently. But it's also sad that the Bible will teach us that there were some people that didn't hold on to sound doctrine. Our first guy here, you know, reading this one is sad. Because they all missed a great opportunity. The first one here is Hymenaeus. That's his name. First, what's that? What's that? Yes, Hymenaeus. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest. Hey, why did you switch? Hey. Verse 18. We walk in love. We are walking in love. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You know, we already said Timothy is on the good side, but we don't have time, honestly. Personally, I feel the whole book of Timothy will tell you about his life, you know. So, having faith and good conscience. So, before I was even thinking we're going to have time to really look at the component of a sound doctrine. But we don't have that time. We're just looking at men that heeded onto sound doctrine and men that heeded onto false doctrine or strange doctrines. So maybe if we have time, and we'll look at what makes up a sound doctrine. One of it is the idea of faith and good conscience. If you always teach faith with greed, it's not sound doctrine. It must be faith with contentment. It must be faith with good conscience. That's a sound doctrine. Did you understand? But don't, like we said, we don't have time. Which some having rejected. So, some people rejected this doctrine of faith and good conscience. It was rather faith and greed. I can have it. This person says, I just bought a car. I can have that car. I covered that your car. I covered that your car. You know? So he says, having rejected concerning the faith. So they had the idea of faith. But their own faith, they mixed it with something else. Only sugar, no? You know when you boil yam with sugar? How many of you have eaten yam with sugar? Yes, you are. That's false doctrine of eating yam. Yes. Yes. I've been a Loretta. Is that how to eat yam? That's a false doctrine of eating yam. Now, it says concerning the faith. Amen. Concerning the faith. So it was still the topic of faith. They were also faith boys. This one, they were also faith boys. But Paul says concerning their own faith, they shipwrecked it. He says, no, go back there. He says, concerning the faith, they suffered shipwreck. So they were also on the journey of faith. But their own faith had something else. He says, they shipwrecked. Concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Verse 20. Of whom Imenaeus and Alexander. But let's leave Alexander. It's Imenaeus we are looking. Whom I delivered to Satan. Now, you can see where the seductive spirit led them to. They became blasphemers. So you can see that they had a good thing, but they mixed it with something else. It says concerning the faith of sheep, meaning they didn't just lose living a life, they killed themselves. It says, I delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Is there any other thing there? No. Let's this same interesting guy, he didn't stop here. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know what did I find out about this Imenaeus? Omoburukuni. And the funny thing is, false doctrine, when you perpetrate false doctrine, you will find your brother.
Yes.
He found another brother. It was not only Alexander that was his companion. You know when you say brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, in false doctrine, he had Alexander as a brother. He now had another, don't worry, he had Philetus. Philetus was another guy. Hey! We, the disciples of Paul, but they've mixed something with it. Sorry about that. Please, you can go home and read all these things in context though, please. Now, can we start from maybe 16? No, go back up. So it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, 16. But shun profane and idle babblings. This is also something, this would also lead you to false doctrine. And you can see where false doctrine leads to is, you will blaspheme, it will lead you to ungodliness. It says, for they will increase to more ungodliness. 17. And their message. So, the message, I mean, shipwreck, it was known for shipwreck. It was also known for a message called babbling and idle what? Profane and idle babbling. Like, that's the message. It's profane. I mean, like profanity. And idle babbling, like false confidence. These are the ones that they will tell you what God did not say. He says, and their message will spread like cancer. So Paul, because that's also something we need to look at. How you must preach the whole counsel of God as a doctrine to reduce the effect of false doctrine. Now, you don't preach sound doctrine void of the knowledge that there is false doctrine. Yeah. And that's why you say what you are saying and you say what you are not saying. So you don't say, this is our own. No. When you spot profane and idle babbling. You will say there is profane and idle babbling. Emma Debe. You will say, ah, this is our own. You know our own. This is our own. This is our own emphasis. No. This is our emphasis, and this is not our emphasis. You may think Paul doesn't know what he's saying by mentioning the things those guys are saying. He says, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who are straight concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past. That's idle babbling. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. So it's not about affiliation. Like you are working with Paul. No, God knows who are his. Just the same, yeah, God knows the people that are his. It's not, ah, this is the church I'm going. God knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, he was helping Paul, Timothy discern these guys. Jude also has a letter for this. Ah, because it's time. You know, when we come back, we will look at different false doctrine. Doctrine of Nicolaitan, doctrine of Balaam. Different doctrines that you don't even know that they are selling them. The last guy here, which we will not read, because we don't have time again, is Diotrephes. That's the last guy. We've mentioned Hymenaeus, Alexander, we've used time to read his own. Philetus, we've read that. But the last one here, you know, Philetus had a prestige for being a false teacher. The last one here is Diotrephes. Diotrephes. Yeah, thank you for going there. Thank you, Jumoke. God bless you. Back along. Here, John wrote about this bad guy here. And another guy we could have looked at is Demas. Hallelujah. Be like Gaius. Be like Epaphroditus. Be like Epaphras. Be like Titus, Philemon, Onesimus, Timothy. And there are many other guys, Galatia, Titus. Beautiful guys that they followed wholly the apostles' doctrine. See, at times, okay, don't worry, maybe when we come back to this, we have not finished this conversation of it is good for your heart to be established by grace. God bless us. Amen.